You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the BWI live show. You just caught me actually bopping along to the music, which I do during the pre-show intro. But welcome. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. Sean Fitz, Ryan Snyder here to talk about Penn State recruiting. Lots of dudes, lots of names today, because there's been a lot of people on Penn State's campus over the last 14 days, or how long has it been, Fitz? 8 days.
It hasn't been that long because they just started practice and they didn't remember. We had spring break and they took them. The first day was last Tuesday, so it's been about a week and 2 days. So, but it feels like a month. Yeah, but that's just because Penn State's rolling them in, rolling them out, and we're getting all the news on BlueWhiteIllustrated.com.
I was trying to do seven plus however many days it had been since Tuesday, and 14 just flopped out of my mouth like a dead fish. Don't do math live on air.
Yeah, we're not a math show. I mean, sorry to my kid's math teacher who's a listener. We're not a math show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He didn't get that from me, by the way. Anyway, go on.
We got a lot of things to talk about today. Obviously, everyone wants to know about quarterbacks. Ryan has that information. But of course, we're also talking about the recruiting visits that happened and those names and what you guys got feedback from players that have been on campus already. So we're getting to all of that today. If you want to have a conversation here in the chat, we're always happy to talk about players and prospects. Maybe don't ask who's the next player to commit. That one doesn't get on air very frequently, but I don't think we've had that too often.
We can guess all you want. We're just guessing all the time. That's the main thing. And we try not to throw anything out there. So, yeah.
Steven is in the chat. He says, good morning. You've been keeping up with the program, but not live like today. Love to have you here, Steven. Happy to have you. And of course, Mecha Engineer 100, he says, just finished thumbing through the Blue White Illustrated magazine, which I think was a recruiting magazine last week. Right, Ryan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
his memory.
That's why you didn't hear from me in February, writing all those damn bios. But no, it was good. It works out well, though. I mean, at least February is a dead period now. It used to not be that way, and we'd have to put that magazine together. So makes it a little bit easier, but no, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for checking it out.
I want to come to you to start the show, Ryan, kind of some off-the-top thoughts. As I've been trying to keep up and follow along with all of the information you've been pumping out, which is really hard, you know, be completely honest, this show is all about you guys and your information because I've been covering, you know, and thinking about and looking at and watching film of spring football. But something you said last week that I want to get to today, official visits. You kind of gave the warning official visits are great. We'll see if they happen. But you've been posting a lot of information of official visits being scheduled. So how should fans view these, knowing that some are more likely than others and some are more meaningful than others? When you're talking about these recruiting visits happening in June.
So I think I may have said that last week. I don't remember, but I do definitely remember talking about that in February. And it was about maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And, you know, just a lot of guys turning around quick information, and it's always kind of, we're talking about visits that are 4 months away. Like great example here, running back Alvin Henderson, a player that we've talked about a good bit. Is Penn State going to get him? Probably not. But he's a guy that we've discussed a good bit about official visits. He's talked about official visits with multiple sites, including Chad Simmons and everybody here at On3. Well, we know that Penn State's working to have him on campus, I think, the first or second week of official visit season. Well, what's he do last week? He tells the Auburn site that he wants to commit in April. So that's my whole thing there. It's like, if we can get excited, we're going to put these lists together. We're going to do our best to track everything. And then what's going to happen is there's going to be a handful of these guys who take all these spring visits and they say, you know what, I don't need to drag this out. I know where I'm going. And they're going to make decisions. So That's all. That's all I mean by that. It's just we're going to put these all together and we're going to do our best to break them down and keep fans informed. But we just see it every year where guys decide in the spring. Yeah, you know what? This isn't for me. I don't want to wait that long.
Fitz, are there visits that are on the schedule right now that you want to talk about that you think are meaningful that we can highlight here to start the show?
Yeah, I think you have to understand right now where we're at in the recruiting calendar before we get to that, and it's figuring out what who you can set the table for right now. You're not going to see a ton of commitments. That's usually how Penn State works. I mean, you'll pick off a couple, and then late in the spring, last year was a big run late in the spring, starting with Luke Reynolds in late March. But John Mitchell, Antoine Belgrave, Shorter, eventually those guys sort of came in around the blue-white game. So given the makeup of the class so far, and that you've got a bunch of guys on board already, more than they had at this time last year, you're probably going to be a bit slower. And then just in the last couple of years, we've seen this movement to, I want to take official visits in June. And that's awesome. I think that's the way to go personally, just because you've got so many options out there. You have so much more to consider than you did maybe just 5 years ago with NIL, with all these, the stuff that you can sort of maximize from your own personal brand. So you got to figure all that stuff out. So you're looking for May 31st, you've got a bunch of visits that are lining up. Then it's just gonna be every weekend from there out. 14th is going to be a big weekend of commits, but I think that it's all very much in pencil right now, because you still have the spring evaluation period and there's guys that are going to be bona fide targets no matter what. I mean, you get Malachi Goodman on campus and in June, you know, like that's going to happen. Like that's not a situation where you're going to like go see him and then discover that he's not as big as you think he is, something like that. There will be guys like that. So
right.
I think kind of where we're at right now is setting the table. We confirmed a couple of this week. You know, it's funny. I closed the show yesterday talking about out of region guys. And then I go on and do the actual legwork for that piece where I reach out to these guys, see what's up. And then all of a sudden, hey, Zaire Edison has an official visit in June. That's fantastic. We can write that. And then, you know, the original piece gets pushed back. So that's kind of what we're doing right now. So all these visits that you see, that's great. But there were so many changes last minute last year. Ryan, we could name some dudes, just some guys that just kind of fell off the face of the earth.
There was like a dozen. There was like a dozen last year. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the crazy part about it. So don't get too high or too low, but I think that they, you know, they're kind of shuffling the cards for now. You've got,
and you still have,
yeah, sorry. You got the blue white game. You've got the spring evaluation period.
You've got camps.
Yeah.
You got Peter Gonzalez's of the world that are going to come up to one of those first camps and boom, all of a sudden we're talking about him. So,
and yeah, they've already identified a lot of those guys, not a lot of those guys, but several 2025 prospects that we're not talking about on this show right now. We very much could be talking about as commits in June. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be getting through some of those names coming to campus, in the immediate, future. In just a minute. And of course, we'll be recapping the players that came up to Penn State. And I'm not going to ask these guys, hey, who's the next guy to commit or who's on commit watch or any of those things. We can maybe get in those conversations if they come up. But the names that matter and the relationships that seem to be picking up, and I think that's where these guys do their best work, is identifying relationships and how things are growing at this time of the year. But if you want your personal life and business to grow, maybe you need to consider a different path forward, and that could be My Perfect Franchise. Owning your own business, owning your own franchise. Check out Andy Ludicky at MyPerfectFranchise.net. You can contact him at 404-973-9901. I'll give that for the podcast listeners at the end as well, but then I'm going to tell you who Andy is. If you're new to the show, Andy is a franchise consultant. So you buy into a franchise, and then you own and manage it. Whether things are booming in the economy, downturning, inflation, deflation, doesn't matter. There's something moving. And there's some place that you, if you have the expertise and the business knowledge, you can make money. That's what we're talking about here. Make money, diversify your portfolio, build a legacy, build wealth. Maybe you want to accelerate your career. He can help you with all these things because he's done it. He's left the corporate world and he's invested in himself and his future. And now he wants to take that knowledge, the good and the bad, and teach you how to run a franchise. So if you've got business experience and you've got capital to invest It's not for everybody. In fact, he tries to talk people out of these situations if they don't fit the situation, because his point is not just to get you in, you know, factory line assembly style into some place and make money off of you. It's to make sure you succeed and make sure you have the same good experiences that he's been able to accumulate over the years of owning and managing several different businesses. Now, he talks to us all about once a year or every 6 months about what's going on. And here's the problem. I remember that stuff. I write the notes down and then I look at them and go, oh, I forgot. I don't know anything about business, so I don't know what any of this really means. But wellness and fitness, especially men's health, are big right now. So if you have information or you have an interest or a passion in those things, you should definitely check out Andy. And again, 404-973-9901. But who calls people anymore, right? MyPerfectFranchise.net. You can get in contact with him at Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You should definitely call him. He's a good dude, good to talk to. I don't want to discourage you from that, but I just know, guys, I'm one of those weird people that still calls on the phone, like actually dials a number. It drives my wife absolutely crazy. Ryan, you talk to people on the phone, right? I'm not the only crazy person.
No kids want to talk on the phone ever, ever, ever. It's so frustrating. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, we still do phone interviews, but... Oh, I feel like every year I get more and more like my parents, where I get frustrated with, you know, the kids out there. And Sean, you can relate. I mean, everybody just wants the message or text. It's frustrating, but it is what it is.
All right.
You're muted, Sean.
So let's move on and talk about some of the guys that have visits coming up. Yeah, because I think that looking forward is where a lot of people are excited for, especially if you watch this and you are a subscriber of BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. You want to know about what's coming up next, because you got the lowdown and the information from these guys, which if you haven't yet, subscribe. It's $1. And if you listen to the show here, it's 2 months for $1. We'll give you an extra month with code PSU1. Sign up right now and you can get all this information. This is kind of the distillation process. You get just the fine stuff here. Fitz. Guys that are coming up that you think are interesting starting. Thursdays are usually the start of the weekend from a recruiting process, right?
Right. Yeah. Just for those new to the game here, they host visitors for practices. So Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, that's kind of how it works out. So you had some guys in on Tuesday, Jarcus Carter from Florida, defensive lineman, caught up with him, put the update on the site yesterday. So check that out. Today, I mean, it's a smaller list. It's traveling, and you know, unless you've got a kid on spring break and you're trying to come from out of the region, traveling is not best in week for obvious reasons here. But Julius Holly is one that I look at as defensive end from Georgia is going to come up. I say defensive end from Georgia, it just goes back to this hamster in my brain saying, hey, they're going to have to go national for a defensive end this year. It's going to be the reality of the situation. The defensive end class in the region is not strong. The defensive end class in nationally is not there yet. There are guys that are going to pop up on the scene because you've got these guys that are 6'5 and 210 pounds and they can't walk in a straight line yet. But by the time they get to camps in June, all of a sudden they're broad jumping 11 feet. You know, that's kind of how these things come together. So you're going to have to continue to spread that net. I hate casting the wide net, but you're gonna have to continue to do that at that position just because of what's home. You know, Cortez Harris is here, you know, Zahir Mathis and Ryan, my guy in Virginia that's committed to Clemson. I just lost his name totally. Anyway,
Fitz, I have a question.
Watford,
question for
Sean. Ari Watford.
Ari. that was like right there, and then all of a sudden it's just talking live, man. Anyway, yeah. T-Frank, what's your question to get me out of this hole?
This was kind of the conversation with Malachi Williams last year that, you know, he's a good player. Obviously, there was some projection with his size and his frame and things like that, but I remember Charles and your conversation, Ryan's conversation with Charles is nationally, it wasn't like a great edge year. Is it a similar thing to that? Or is it that the discovery phase is still happening and there are guys that are going to pop up once they start to grow and develop? Or I guess, where are we in that discovery phase that this might be another down year? And is that surprising to you?
Well, it's one of those positions where it's kind of like that assembly line that we talk about, where if you're productive at a young age as a defensive end, you're probably bigger than everyone, which means if you're 6'4", 240 right now, and everybody gets hung up on weights because, you know, you see where these guys are 2 and 3 years into the program. But if you're 240, 250 pounds right now, you're probably a defensive tackle. Like, you're probably an interior guy. And you know, it's a case by case basis, so everybody's different. But like, those guys that are like on the scene early eventually move down that assembly line and are defensive tackle. So that's what I'm looking at right there. Like, Malachi Williams at this time last year is 205 pounds. I mean, you used to look at that and say that's a linebacker, but that's not the case anymore. It's about the frame. It's about, you know, what you can bring with length, what you can bring with athleticism, bend, snap off the edge, whatever. So like that, those are the things that you're looking at rather than weight. It's amazing to me how caught up people get in weight. Because right. They're going to get to a college weight program. And Malachi Williams has never lifted like this before. Like, Malachi Williams has never been in a nutrition program before. Probably going to blow up in this program, like in terms of like from a physical perspective. So like that is what you're looking at when you're projecting these guys. And you see these guys that ascend early, either level off or eventually become interior prospects. And then you get guys that sort of are on the come up late because they learn to run in a straight line. They learn, and that's an exaggeration, they learn to, you know, actually play with their hands and things like that, because these are the raw prospects. And you look over the last 20-25 years, I don't know that any position has changed as much as defensive end. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about, like, I'm not saying it was easier to block those guys in the 90s, but there weren't the freakazoids that they have now. Like, there's a lot of, like, you think back to Mike Mamula being a freak, and now you can find a decent amount of Mike Mamulas out there, you know. Like, that's kind of how you figure this defensive evolution has come along. So that's what you see in this time period, is those guys that are, maybe you would consider them late risers, but that at this position it seems completely normal.
Ryan, is there a player or a position you're interested in this weekend as well?
Oh, it has to be Dia Bell. I think as far as you know, young guys coming up this weekend, the list, so for the record, Sean was kind of talking about spring break and all that stuff. Next week, obviously, with leading into Easter, should be a way different week, because that's when most schools are on spring break. You have the first week. Penn State hosted a great list the first week on spring practice. That's we see that often, right? It's the first week. Guys are excited. They want to get back. They weren't here to, you know, they haven't been here since, we'll say, the season, something like that. So anyway, this is kind of the down week, is my point. And when we look at what the list will be this week, it's very heavy with 2026 guys. But one of them, I think Dia Bell, is somebody that we need. So this is where Sean usually reels me in, because I'm like, this is their top quarterback. You know, this is where I get everybody excited. This is the guy. And then Sean's like, oh yeah, you know, we still have a whole nother year of evaluations to go, which you're right. And I don't argue that, but I do think, you know, if there's any quarterback in 2026 that Penn State wants right now, it is absolutely Dia Bell. Son of Raja Bell, of course, NBA player, played a bunch of years, a bunch of different teams. So there's a couple things here. I mean, he's been on campus multiple times already. Great athleticism. As a sophomore at American Heritage, to kind of play the way he has,
yep,
I think that's really grabbed a lot of schools' attention. LSU seems to be in the mix. Sean, was there one other one that
Texas just offered yesterday? They're going to be in the mix. So
yeah, I mean, they'll be in the mix.
And I don't think he's like tied to Florida or anything like that. So he can get all over. He can get wherever he needs to get. So mm-hmm. Obviously, Raja Bell played in Philly for a little while. So like he can move around.
Oh.
Yeah,
I also see, and I'll put this up here on screen, one of the things we've talked about with Dia Bell, and you mentioned, and so a conversation that we've had before, is if a guy shows up early as a quarterback, they tend to have a little bit of staying power. So, Ryan, I think you're justified to say this is an important prospect, but also he's 6'3 now. I think the last time we talked about Dia Bell, I was like, hey, he's 6'1. That is one thing on his profile, and now it's updated. 6'3,
right.
Got the frame.
Because, I think that's an interesting part, too. That's a dated number. Ignore that number, because I think that number came from us after he camped, you know,
camp like whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so in the NBA. So there's some height there to be to be milked there. But I mean, you remember Michael Van Buren, you remember Jaden Bradford, who, you know, 2 years out, people were, I think, picking, you know, predicting.
I liked him. We didn't liking him. Yeah.
You know, you stop growing. That's a problem. And that's
Samaj Jones.
You have Liberty. So,
Samaj Jones down at Prep. Another one. So anyway, I mean, Bell's certainly a guy that they're very high on. And, you know, I think getting him back is big. There's a couple other schools are going to be in the mix. I do think Penn State has the opportunity to be like top three or so. I'm not, you know, it's not going to be easy to land him. Two other things that stand out. One, I believe his mom's from New Jersey. So I think that's something that I think Penn State feels good about. There is family up in the Northeast. And then two, the other thing that's kind of been mentioned to me is, you know, because of his dad's history, because his father played in the NBA, like how important will NIL be to him compared to some other guys out there? Time will tell. Obviously, you know, he has the potential to be a five-star player when you look at where he's at in the rankings, but there's just been some things suggested to me that this isn't going to be a guy who is out there, you know, searching for, you know, crazy money that we've seen floated around to other top quarterbacks. So that's a positive for Penn State when you're trying to compete against LSU and some other schools.
Does the offense this year and scheme and all that stuff fits? Does that play into this? Because the relationship obviously started with the previous offensive coordinator, Danny O'Brien, James Franklin. All of the staff is still there, but in terms of trying to entice a top quarterback, and you saw, we'll get to the on three rankings in just a little bit, but he's a top quarterback in the nation with a lot of options and willing to go seemingly to a lot of different places. So I guess how important is this next year to that fit with Diabelle?
Yeah, I think it's important. Also, I want to highlight the backhanded fact that Ryan just laid down, and that, hey, this kid might not be looking for money, so that's good for Penn State. That's that is a sobering thought when you're talking about recruiting in 2025, 2026.
It is.
But he's going to be watching. Danny O'Brien's the important part here, like with all the quarterbacks. You know, Andy Kotornecki's come in, and he's not a quarterback's guy. He's got his quarterback's guy in Danny O'Brien, who's really good recruiter. Like, he's a really personable guy. He talks about those relationships all the time. So I think that's the important thing. And then, of course, you got to put up points. Like, we're all sitting here waiting for points. Like, it's not just the fans. It's not just the writers. It's not just but the recruits as well. You're looking for an entertaining, productive output from this offense. Yes.
Yeah. The other thing, T. Frank, I will add to that, though, is I wouldn't be shocked if he's committed by the time the season starts. He's
interesting.
Fast.
Interesting. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's committed in July, August. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Let's get to the next quarterback. You know, Matt Zollers. It's always a name that's going to get people interested.
Matt Zollers.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy before.
21 minutes in, we haven't mentioned him yet. Wow.
I like to make people hang around a little bit to get the stuff. Like, I want them to hang out with us for a second. So, but let's get to it. Matt Zollers, Ryan, what's the latest on his timeline for the spring? Because I know we've been talking about this, but there's some firm dates now. So let's get into the minutia of the when and the where.
Yeah, he's flying home from one right now. He just was at Missouri yesterday. So, you know, we've talked about Matt playing basketball, which, by the way, if anyone paid attention to how Springford lost to Archbishop Wood last week, which Archbishop Wood is maybe the favorite to win 6A in basketball, absolute heartbreaker. I mean, they gave that game away, and it would have been biggest upset of the playoffs probably so far. But anyway, because of that, I guess Penn State fans and you know, recruiting fans can rejoice a little bit, because he is getting these visits in that he said he needs to get in. As I mentioned, he was just at Missouri yesterday. And now we'll come to Penn State, Pitt, and Georgia, all within about a 3-4 day span. I believe Pitt will be the 28th. Penn State will be the 29th. So what is that, next Thursday, Friday? And then April 2nd for Georgia. He's on spring break next week is what it is, right? So he's going to head out and try and get those three visits in during his spring break. So I would not be shocked if we see Matt Zollers committing. I don't know if it's going to be within days of that, but certainly it should happen probably in the first half of April. Maybe it drags out past the blue-white game, but he wants to get this over with. He knows those are the four schools for him, and boy, this is going to be an interesting one. So we'll see. Time will tell on this one. I felt very good about Penn State before Missouri and Georgia came knocking, and because of the fact that, you know, he's only been to those two schools once, now Missouri twice. As I said, he just took there yesterday. It just it makes it more difficult to read because of the, you know, what you don't know. Now you're going back to double check and triple check on things. It just makes it harder from the outside to read when compared to so many others. This guy's visiting 7 times, 6 times, 5 times.
Yep.
It's easier to read those.
So with that in mind, I know that we a lot of times talk about with official visits or with the spring visits or even the winter visits, going to junior days. Do you want to be first? Do you want to be last? It seems like being in the middle is the bad part. And Penn State's second to last on this schedule. Fitz, reading into that too much, or is it more of a scheduling thing and he's got to go to Georgia as opposed to driving across Pennsylvania for the his middle two visits?
Yeah, this is a scheduling thing. This is how this works. Like, you, what's convenient in terms of traveling that far, like, it makes a difference. I mean, I hesitate to overreact to the order of the visits. And I think it's one of those things where you're setting up for the next step. Is that a decision? Not quite there. Like I talked to some people that think he may take some early official visits. So we're going to see what happens there. We're going to see what happens with Juju Lewis at Georgia, obviously a nearby five-star that the Bulldogs have prioritized as well. But they, I tell you what, Zolders isn't far behind on their board. If he is behind, he's not that far behind. So I think that's the interesting aspect of that. But yeah, this is an important couple of weeks for Mr. Zolders.
Is there any other anything beyond that would be speculation of what happens if good or bad guys, but is there any other interesting wrinkles in this conversation you want to add that I'm unaware of that you want to bring up before we move on to somebody else?
No, I mean, Malik Washington was here last week and talked about potentially setting up a visit later, which kind of tells you where Penn State's at. I mean, you've got the chips kind of pushed in on Zolders and you're keeping your options open behind there.
So let's get on to some of the other guys that are going to be here this weekend that you think are interesting and that we could talk about here on the show. Offensive line, it seems like an interesting spot. Marlon Bright, I see here on the rundown. A lot of these guys we're talking about here are 2026 guys, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we'll see. I mean, has Bright been on campus before, Sean? I'm not sure that he has.
I don't have that one down in front of me. So
yeah. So I think how we actually know he, I think he was, he did go to one of the games. It was either Iowa or West Virginia. Anyway, long story short, we'll see. I don't really have a lot for him right now. T Frank. I mean, they're going to get Darius Gray back. Darius Gray is kind of the one that stands out a little bit more to me. Gotcha. I think he's right outside the top 50 at the moment, as far as the on 300 is concerned. Been on campus a few times. Certainly is going to be one of those marquee offensive linemen that we're talking about. And Marlon Bright may emerge as one. I need to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, there. He came to the West Virginia game, by the way. And I believe he was at camp as well in June.
Okay.
So let's get on to the 2026 rankings, because a lot of these guys we're talking about here, that it kind of dovetails perfectly into the next segment, which is looking ahead past 2025. What are the interesting names that pop up, and let's get into the regional aspect of, it seems like Penn State's in a good position with a lot of highly rated players. Fitz, who stands out to you in the initial 2026 on three rankings that came out recently?
Well, I mean, you look at the top 10 and just 3 5-stars so far. I mean, why we do that is because you don't want to throw 5-stars on guys and then take them off, basically. Like, it's a process that you kind of have seen in the past, and it doesn't work. So you start with, in this case, 3 5-stars, including number 3, Emmanuel Iheanacho from Georgetown Prep. This kid is massive. He is athletic, and he is like a really, really good. He kind of reminds me of Cyrus Quanjo back at DeMatha in the day. Mm-hmm. Really, really good looking prospect. Penn State has an early, like, this kid is still raw. I mean, he just started playing football not too long ago. Penn State hasn't got an offer out to him in January. They're one of a couple of schools that have a decent relationship so far. But then again, he just went to Alabama this week. So, like, that's kind of how this recruitment has taken off. It's amazing that coaches don't look at rankings, but then all of a sudden, after these rankings come out, how many business offers and all that kind of stuff happens. So it's
Kevin Brown.
Crazy.
Kevin Brown.
Kevin Brown. Well, Kevin Brown was on spring break. So, I mean,
yeah, it's true. And he's visiting. You're right.
Yeah. So that, I get that. But, Zion Ali last weekend was at Penn State. All of a sudden, he's the number 7 prospect in the country. I think that's optimistic. I think he's a really awesome prospect, but top 10. I was not really mentally prepared for that. But you look down through the top 100, a bunch of these guys have been on campus. And a bunch of guys are coming back to campus. Kendra Harrison is somebody that was asked about in the chat a couple of months ago. He has an offer from Penn State for football and basketball. And everybody's going to offer that kid as a tight end. He's really good. Elbert Hill's has been on campus several times, a cornerback from Ohio. He's at number 13. Dia Bell, we talked about, at number 14. And yeah, Kevin Brown at number 28 overall, number one player in Pennsylvania. I have no arguments with that whatsoever. I think he's a tremendous prospect. Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia this week. That's a pretty good week for Mr. Brown.
Yes. Ryan, yeah. What do you think about the region? So we talk about Kevin Brown. Messiah Mickens also on the list of players that are highly ranked by initial on 300, and he's committed to Penn State. So how do you view the region, at least in the initial salvo for the next recruiting cycle?
Yeah, so I mean, Pennsylvania had 10 guys in the on 300. Now, Sean and I disagree probably on a couple of them that, you know, we think will fall out eventually. But I mean, when you look at Maryland, New Jersey, they were actually pretty down. I thought there was only like three or four for each of those states. And then Virginia's pretty solid with 11. So just looking at the early numbers, let's see. Those numbers are going to shuffle so much. I don't want to overthink it too much when we're looking at the first rating. The thing that grabs my attention, and this is, we've written about this, I talk about all the time. Yes, I'm a homer, right? I live in Harrisburg, so I'm going to talk about these guys a good bit. But I think it's a little justified with these ratings here because you got Kevin Brown at 28. You got Messiah Mickens at number 90. You have Tyler Merrill at number 50. And then you have Elias Koch as well. He's still in top 300. I think he's, what, 233, something like that. So you got four guys, three of whom play on the same high school now because Messiah Mickens transferred to Harrisburg, who all Sheffy rated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sheffy too. That's right.
Just transferred.
Did that? That just got announced.
Yeah, I believe Brian Linder wrote it this week that he's on the track team at Harrisburg. So, like, I think
right.
it's been something we talked about on the message board before, but I guess it's out now. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, you got top 300 guys on there. And, you know, there's some others too. I still really like Maurice Barnes at Bishop McDevitt. There's going to be a couple other guys who emerge as well. So I just think it's incredibly, I mean, it's one of the best years as far as, you know, the mid-Penn area goes. And we bring it up because this is where Penn State often gets whatever they want. I mean, how many times has there been a guy in this area that they haven't landed when they really wanted that player? I'm sure there's somebody if I'm thinking back on it, but everybody from, you know, Kuntz to Parsons to go on and on, you know, they usually get those guys. So it's not going to be easy. We just looked at Kevin Brown, the offers he's getting. Tyler Merrill, I think is fits Penn State really well, but he's going to go out and visit a bunch of schools, and you know we'll see where things go.
He's an interesting one. I remember when we first got to see him, the first, you know, the initial impact of how big he is was impressive. But the good thing that I've learned is he's been working a lot on his mobility and working on learning how to use all that size properly. He's going to play left tackle this upcoming season, which is obvious, but sometimes that doesn't always happen on the high school level. So he's one I'm interested in because he's got the potential to be that. Fitz, you mentioned earlier how I think fans are interested in weight and size because they don't want the fear of what if he doesn't grow.
Project. Yeah.
A project. They want things to be, there want to be less variables and more assurances. And I'm not saying that Tyler Merrill is a sure thing because you still have to be good at football and all those things. But when you've got the size already and you're working on your weaknesses, that's a pretty positive situation. And you know, with Kevin Brown, he's just going to get bigger and bigger. So having legitimate size in the region, I think is really good for 2026.
Yeah. But there's no blueprint in terms of like guys have grown from 220 pound quarterbacks into first round picks, and guys that have been 330 pounds and come out at 320 have been first round pick. I mean, Olu was always a big guy. Like there's no blueprint here. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. I don't think there's any, you would know better than this, like tangible draft evidence of like how this is the perfect prospect on the offensive line, because offensive line is so hard and it's so much more about weight so much more than even sometimes
mental like
talent. Yeah. Mental. Yeah.
You got to be tough. Like how many guys have all the measurements out there, but they're just, for lack of a better word, a pussy. Hey, I mean, it's just the truth. It's just the truth.
Okay.
Dude, I was having this talk with a source the other day about that stuff. Like, that's the hardest thing to figure out.
Again, one of the things that stuck, if when you take a look at the offensive line, if you're a prospect that can afford not to make it, you're not going to make it. Like, that is a situation that we've seen so many times. And it's a really interesting sort of subplot to that position, because that position is so hard. And there's no, like, again, hey, an average offensive line is a really good offensive line in college football. So that's, you got a group of those things. So be fun to watch those guys grow. I'm a big fan of Kevin Brown. I said it on the board this week. I saw Kevin Brown at the Whiteout camp last year. I'm like, this guy is really good. Will Black was at that Whiteout camp. Will Black's not a five-star prospect on 3. Now, I think that's a bit optimistic, but I came away thinking Kevin Brown was the guy in that group from the underclassmen. So, hey, man, that's kind of where you find yourself with evaluating offensive linemen. And I will be the first to tell you, I am not an offensive line scout. We know some of those things that we like to see.
Thanks, Jay Ben, for reminding me of Noah Spence, by the way.
And by the
2012,
way,
2012, though, you go back a pretty far way. And that was, 2011 wasn't a great year for Penn State. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, just a little bit. If you do want an O-line expert, we have somebody here on the YouTube channel, and not enough people have watched this video. Landon Tangwall explains why Olu Fashanu is great at football, and has, it has to do with his size and his athleticism, but also what he does with it. If you want to understand the level of intelligence and technique that go along with offensive line play, you got to watch that video. It's a 10-minute clip of a 45-minute conversation that I had to cut down because we got into the weeds on all of it. And we didn't even through all the clips, which we're going to get to later. So check that out. Landon Tangwall breaking down Olu Fashanu here on the YouTube channel. If you do want some of that conversation about offensive line play and what it does take to be great at it. Any other guys you want to hit on in this class of 2026 before we move on to guys that visited in their feedback from this past week?
I'm going to throw one out here. Jyron Hughley. 2026 quarterback athlete, number 265 overall. Why is he important? He's a kid from Florida. Why is he important? Jaywon Sider's nephew. Like, this is a kid that has been on the radar all his life because of his uncle. He's come up to visit. He's been up a few times, and I think he's got a ton of potential. Like, I think he's continues to grow. He was really, really skinny kid. He's starting to fill out. He can throw the ball pretty well. We've got him at number, 265 overall. He's going to be one of those four-star guys, and he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to have the ability to get to campus, and you're going to have the, sort of a leg up on everyone else because of who his uncle is. But I think his offers are just a matter of time in terms of blowing up. He's got some decent ones right now, but I think he's going to be very good.
And just as a reminder, with the rankings at On3, if there's position ambiguity, sometimes that does work against guys, and especially in these super early initial rankings of you guys who's developing. One of the common things whenever I listen to your conversation with Charles Power, what's your position? How do we compare like to like? And if you're listed as an athlete, and maybe you're a quarterback, maybe you're not. Like, I haven't seen his film fit, so I don't know what are the potentials here. If you have any off the top of your head, if you've seen his film.
Athleticism, just a guy that can make things happen, and he processes pretty well in terms of maybe not like the traditional pro style progressions, but he processes things and makes plays happen. So that's to me, that's a good trait to have as a quarterback. I don't know if I'm, as I said, I'm not an expert, but here we are. I like Hughley a lot, and we talked about Diabel, but I'm not sure that Hughley's all that far off. Like, and maybe that's just because I've watched more of him, based on his connection to Penn State and Sider, but I think he's got a lot to like.
So let's get to the players that visited over the past 8 or 9 days, as I adjust my math properly. Penn State hosted a bunch of important players in the first week. What are the ones that fans should pay close attention to, and that you got some feedback from? Ryan, kind of come to you on this one. Ryan's been doing awesome work. Both these guys have been pumping out a lot of information over BlueWhiteIllustrated.com about feedback from players. Fitz has had a bunch of great articles. So, Ryan, where do you want to go with the list of players you talked to?
Well, last thing I want to say is David Davis is too low in the On 300. He's going to be, I think, a really good player at number 181. So we'll get into that. We got plenty of time to talk about David Davis moving forward. But who do we go? Jaden Blair, Bo Jackson. I'll save the tight end for you, Sean. I'll go Bo Jackson just because I had a talk with him this past week. So, Sean, I think it was last week on the podcast, right? I was like, oh, Ohio State should be a player. Sean shot me down there, was kind of like, eh, not so sure. Of course, Ohio State's in the midst of a running back coach change as well. So let's see how that plays out. But, you know, since we've kind of had that talk last week, Jackson visits, I was able to catch up with him on Sunday. And, you know, it was very positive. I think the door is open for Penn State to be top three or so here, and which I wasn't exactly sure about going into the visit. Now, he does have some really good visits coming up to Georgia, to Alabama. He has one to Ohio State, too, I believe, on March 30th. So I'll be curious to see if they have their new running back coach. And by then, I assume they probably should. So let's see where it plays out. But like this should be a player that they are able to get back for an official visit. And, you know, if so, I think a third running back is more realistic than what I thought maybe, you know, a couple months ago. And they would absolutely take someone like Jackson who can do a lot of different things, just an absolute playmaker. So, yeah, more realistic than I thought. Sean, props to you because last week I was kind of shooting that down. But, you know, I think Penn State could be top three here.
Fitz, three running backs in a class. I don't want to get into the analytics conversation and value of running backs because on the college level, if you got a great one, oh boy, does it make a difference. But at the same time, when you've got a limited number of scholarships to give out, is there going to be attrition here, do you think? Or can they handle having three running backs? And how much does the overall roster churn over the next couple of years with the obvious moving on of the top two guys? Like, how much am I not seeing in terms of projecting the future depth chart where three makes sense?
Well, I mean, you look at it and say, what has anybody done behind Katron and Nick right now? And you've got talent. Yeah, sure. You've got talent. You've recruited extremely high at an extremely high level, but like, this is not a level playing field going into 2025, but as close as it's been since really Nick and Katron got here. So mm-hmm. You expect those guys to move on. Like I've said it before, like 3 years and out, if you're a talented running back, that's what guys do. They go get paid. And now maybe some guys are starting to come back because of NIL and things like that. I just don't think you put your eggs in that basket. So take a third one. It's got to be the right guy. They love Tyke Hayes, Keandre Barker, obviously. You know, you protect yourself. You know, Barker's still solid, but you protect yourself from a guy from Arkansas, Texas, and Florida now, that you just want to, you know, be safe, I guess. But anyway, it's got to be the right guy. But then you get into 2025, and yeah, you've got Quentin Martin, you've got Cam Wallace, London Montgomery. You've got names that have been there, but really haven't had a role so far. So it's a fresh slate. So this is your selling point for a 2025 running back like Bo Jackson, like Jabri Wallace Coleman, like Alvin Henderson we talked about earlier. So there's opportunity there, even though you look at that roster listing, and I don't want to call it a depth chart, but a roster listing, and say, hey, who's going to be the bona fide starter in 2025? You don't know. So
yeah,
that's what I look at with that. And you know, you will see how this thing evolves. And the downside there, of course, if you take a third running back, you're kind of taking a scholarship from another position. I don't know where that position is going to be. So like Penn State has certain needs in the 2025 class. Getting two running backs really early, that's a good thing. But at the same time, like how do you ride the evolution of the class? I guess is how I would put that.
Yeah. Do you want to take us into Jaden Blair? I think he's another guy that's super interesting, and you know, with the way that they've recruited safeties, a really interesting prospect.
Yeah. Ryan talked to Blair, so he's kind of his guy. But I will say this: I did put notes up on Monday from the weekend. I do recommend you check that out. The one thing here, as we bridge from running back to another position, Andrew Olish was on campus last Thursday. Bo Jackson was in this weekend. Penn State's done a really good job, and I don't know if it's just me being caught up in the moment or anything like that, but getting their NFL guys back to, I don't want to say help with recruiting, but help with recruiting. Like this is not something that we've seen a ton of, and it's about the visibility. It's about the importance of those guys. Saquon coming off the contract. Everybody that visited last weekend was going to want a picture with Saquon. Like, I mean, I know that's what Saquon's life is like everywhere he goes. But it means a little bit more for these recruits that are trying to be that same guy. But on the flip side, not on the flip side, but on the other side of that coin, Andrew Olish changed his visit to Thursday. Because he was supposed to visit in early April, changed his visit to Thursday because Brenton Strange and Pat Freiermuth are there. Now, they're not as visible as Saquon Barkley in terms of the NFL, but that to me is one of those actions that I put in my brain and say, hey, like this kind of matters because even if Brenton Strange and Pat Freiermuth are not, you know, Freiermuth had a great deal of success in Pittsburgh, obviously, but like they're not Pro Bowl all pro type guys, but he's looking at the production that they've had and viewing it through the scale of, hey, I'm a tight end. These guys were second round picks as a tight end, which is pretty much as
that's a big deal.
Good as you're going to get for that position. I mean, you have what, one or two tight ends doing the first round every year, but a second round tight end, that's pretty important. Yeah. So like that to me is something that was big. Got a chance to talk to those guys, got a chance to understand what it takes to play that position, got a chance to understand how big you've got to be to play at that position while being athletic. And that's the thing that you kind of forget about with Brenton Strange, who is 6'4", Pat Freiermuth, who's 6'4 plus, and those guys can really move. And that's an important it's an important layer for a guy like Olish, who is blown up, but also sees that if he comes to Penn State, as whether or not he's an in-state guy, if he comes to Penn State, that's kind of, they've kind of put them out as maybe not as well as everybody in the country, but top four, top three,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The last three starting like full-time starters have been second round picks. And I don't know where Theo's going to go, but he's going to get drafted pretty high because of what he brings to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consistency too. And I think one of the things that happens, I was trying to figure this out, Fitz, of like what makes a tight end a first round pick when you've got certain players like TJ Hockenson and the other Iowa tight end. I can't remember. They both went in the first round that year. It's usually like, are there good receivers? And if it's a bad year for receivers, tight ends kind of get inflated. And this year there's like 30 receivers that could go in the first three rounds. So maybe a year like this, Theo, who's a great receiving option, is pushed down a little bit, but you know, it's a position where, like you said, if you're in the second round, that's a starter. That's a guy that you're expecting to be a starter in the NFL.
Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer, Luke Musgrave, Luke Schoonmaker, Brenton Strange were the second round tight ends last year. That's a pretty good group right there. And Dalton Kincaid was the first rounder. And I think Laporta is the best one of them all, but yeah, I mean, that says something about the value that you can have as a tight end. Be a top five player, even if you're not a first round pick.
Ryan, Jaden Blair, what stood out to you about your conversation with him?
One thing before I'm going back to Bo Jackson real quick, because I really wanted to get this in. I think Matt Zoller's situation could have a real impact on three running backs. So just something to keep in mind down the road. It's something that's kind of been now. It also comes back to how many guys commit this spring. What's it look like in June? But that Zoller's quarterback, the second potential quarterback, that scholarship is one that I could see bouncing to maybe a fifth wide receiver, a third running back. You know, obviously if they get Zoller's, it could have an impact on some things, but just something I wanted to note. As far as Jaden Blair goes, I think Penn State's I think Penn State might be the favorite. And man, I know there's a lot of talk about Notre Dame. I don't want to rule out Michigan because Michigan offered late. Now they're in the mix. He's going to visit, I think, here very soon and then take an official as well. And obviously Michigan, Notre Dame, Penn State, like they offer a lot of the same things. You would think that would, you know, make them a pretty serious contender. But I feel pretty good about Penn State's chances of getting Blair. I feel pretty good about their chances of getting Kanoa Winston too. So, you know, if they can lock up two of the best safeties in the country and you look at what Anthony Poindexter's doing with, you know, KJ right now and Reed and, you know, some of the guys coming through and then of course you add in Terry Smith and some of the recruiting he's doing too. I mean, the secondary right now is really becoming, or feels like it could become a strength and, you know, just something to keep an eye on. Now, at the same time, Jaden Blair could grow into a linebacker. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Because, man, he's got plenty of height and plenty of, you know, frame to fill out. But
yeah, I like the way he's built and how he moves at his size. It's a really good combination for a safety.
So he's got a lot of spring visits still. He's going to take his official visits. It does feel like that one's going to probably drag through June. But, man, Penn State seems to be in a really good spot right now. We haven't put in RPM, right? So I don't feel crazy confident in it, but tell me Notre Dame's more of a favorite than them right now. I don't know if I buy it.
As you see here on the screen, Jaden Blair, 94 overall in the On3 ranking, 43rd in the country and the number two safety. We mentioned a Winston, so Fitz, and he just tell us about Kanoa Winston again, just for fun.
I'm sorry. I heard of Winston and I came running. Kanoa is going to, Ryan talked to him this week. He's going to set up an official visit. I still think Penn State is in a really good spot there, but we're kind of just getting into his recruitment. He went out to Oregon, really enjoyed Oregon. He's a track guy that's not going to run track in college, but that's still appealing to him in terms of like that whole running culture out there. But there's a couple schools that stick out, North Carolina, of course. But I think that Penn State is in a good spot to set themselves up to sort of ride this one out. Speaking of which, wrestling championships here starting a little bit. So that's when we're talking about Penn State winners there. No, we're not talking about that.
It was a good joke. I thought it was a good
It was a great cross promotion for Greg.
Cano Winston's going to Ohio State this week. That's a big visit too. I want to make sure he's going to take an unofficial. I think Ohio State's going to get an official visit. So it just feels like Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, North Carolina. We'll see how it plays out.
Penn State in a great position with their safety room. And I think that's another one of those positions that's growing in reputation, as you guys mentioned. One that is still in the process, I guess, is building or under construction, receiver. And we got a couple guys here to end the show. We don't have to get into all of this stuff, but Kalik Lockett, I know he is a talented football player. We talked about him previously. What's the vibes around Kalik Lockett, guys? And I apologize. I don't know who wrote this one.
Ryan? Did he write it? I don't even remember. it's not going to be easy to land, right? I mean, let's be honest. He's got just about every school in the country after him. Is he the number one or just number two? I think he's the number two rated wide receiver in the whole country. Yes, he camped at Penn State, which was big. And man, I'm looking back at that camp now, I kind of didn't realize the kind of prospect that we were watching that day. But getting him back is good. Are they going to get an official visit? I don't believe anything's been set with him. You know, we'll see if that does progress. And if they do, then, you know, hey, we'll see where things go. But to me, getting him out of Texas and getting him away from just so many of these top programs that have hosted him substantially more than Penn State has, I think the writing's kind of on the wall there. I feel like Penn State could be maybe top five, but man, could they be top two, top three? I think that's going to be tough.
Well, any other guys you guys want to hit on before we get out of here? Fitz, you got anybody left or what you're thinking about as we get out of here, what you're writing about over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com?
I'm thinking about basketball, really, because those games start here shortly. No, I'm going to continue my quest to finish that piece that I promoted yesterday. No, there's a lot of stuff this weekend. Ryan has been all over the visitors. Just following, you've got a pretty good idea of who the guys are to watch closely. Check us out. I can't say it enough. Check us out on BlueWidowStrategy.com.
And if you want a quick link to get to those articles, because when we talk about an article, I try to put it in the show notes here on the video. But they have written so many different articles that I just put a link to the recruiting page with all the information, all the articles you can click on. That is in the show notes description today. Ryan is going to be adding to that as he always does. Ryan, what are you thinking about getting us out of here on the show?
Well, it was funny, you know, we were talking about a third running back and how that all play out. Well, I've been working on that story that I think we're going to post later today. So just how I could see this potentially playing out and different things, you know, that could impact it. So we'll get that up today. Outside of that, man, it's just really just trying to track down every visitor that I can here over the next couple of weeks. We know a couple guys will be here today, trying to update that list, see if I'm missing anybody. And obviously Saturday, we've probably put about 10 or so scholarship guys on the list for Saturday. I wouldn't be shocked if it grows a little bit here in the final 48 hours or so. So just trying to figure that stuff out. And then, watch some college hoops today, watch wrestling and, you know, try not to lose a bunch of money on college hoops, if I'm being honest.
This is you guys do your best to make us relatable. And I just want to say, like, we should have talked more about March Madness and wrestling. It's just like, I haven't done a bracket since college. So like I am completely unrelatable in that situation. So I don't even know how to phrase the conversation. So I will do better.
Get off of here. I haven't done one yet. It's going to take me 5 minutes and we're just going to blow right through that. But hey, Vermont plays tomorrow night. America's team. They play Duke. So
love it.
That's one you got to pull for.
Last year I was in a bracket challenge. It was like $50 buy-in. So I just literally copied Jay Billis's entire bracket. I finished last place.
On three has a bracket challenge. I should have mentioned that there's an On Three bracket challenge. You can win some great prizes. You sign up. Greg's done a great job of putting that out over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. So go check that information out. You can Google On Three Bracket Challenge and you can find it on Twitter, anywhere else. So go check that out. But that'll do it for today. That'll do it for this week, you know, because our wrestling show came out earlier because wrestling is starting today. We'll be back with more conversation, more football talk this coming weekend and on Monday. But BlueWhiteIllustrated.com never sleeps. We'll have great information and conversation there as well. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.